Welcome again to Reedy's Soccer Show. It's Sunday afternoon here in lovely Carrum, and the season started in the UK. We're into sort of four or five games. Ironically, it's the last games this weekend for the Australian soccer season. So we play in our last game this afternoon for the over 45s at Beaumaris. So we did have a end of season do last night, where we went to the Indian Palace in Brighton, opposite the Half Moon Pub, and we had a great night. So if you like your Indian food, I do recommend it. And as I say, we had a couple of beverages afterwards at the Half Moon Pub. I'm going to be doing a small stint today on football grounds, English and Scottish soccer grounds. I will be doing a roundup as well as some of the results from last night from the leagues. I just wanted to one of my passions is the football ground. As some of my friends would say, I am a bit of an anorak when it comes to that. But I love it. I mean, I left the UK in 2002, and I think I'd been up to about 53 grounds out of 92. So obviously wish I'd probably done a few more when I lived there. But the English football ground, a lot of teams started in the sort of late 19th century, and we just play with on open terraces in fields. A lot of teams started from church teams and local teams, cricket teams, and they started a soccer arm. The man, probably one of my heroes, is the man Archibald Leach, and I want to talk about a little bit about him as well. In the early 20th century, Archibald Leach, Scotsman, big Rangers fan, he was an architect, traditionally doing industrial buildings in Scotland, and he got the gig to start doing football grounds. He started probably quite badly for him in 1906. He rebuilt Ibrox. The terracing that he used were wooden boards on top of a structure, which does sound hideously dangerous. Anyway, tragedy did strike in his first game he attended, and some of the terracing collapsed, and 25 people sadly were killed. It didn't stop him there. He rather sort of strangely, he did get more gigs, and he got the gig to redo Ibrox after that and rebuild the terrace. And he didn't just do the fantastic stands that he's well known for. He did do the terracing as well. And from that disaster, he started to build up the sort of big slag heaps, and then the terracing on top that a lot of English football fans saw and went to in the latter part of the 20th century. He not only did he do that, what he's really famous for is his balustrade. So Archibald Leach probably designed somewhere in the region of between 25 to 30 grounds in England and Scotland. He also did a couple of Greyhound stadiums and a couple of stadiums in Ireland as well. But he was mainly known for his English soccer grounds and his Scottish soccer grounds. As I say, huge Ibrox fan, huge Rangers fan, and sadly, with the advent of the modern football stadia, which I'm going to talk about in another episode, this is just going to be part one. He did rebuild the main stand, or did build the main stand there at Ibrox, which is still in place. He's sort of famous for his zigzag balustrades, the ones that you would have seen famously. It's the Stevenage Road stand at Fulham, which is a listed building. I think it's now called the Johnny Haynes stand. The one at Ibrox and a couple of others are now listed buildings. Sadly, the jewel in his crown was the Trinity Road stand at Aston Villa in 2000. It was knocked down. I'm not a Aston Villa fan, but I am still annoyed about such a beautiful facade of that being knocked down. So there it goes. So what you started to see from just fields in the early part of the 20th century, you started to see people like Archibald Leach, architects, designing stadiums. Typically, his stands would be two-tiered. You'd have the seating at the top and terracing at the bottom. The other three sides of the stadium would all be terracing as well. So, you know, you had your gentry sitting in the seats and your working class man standing up, and really up until the 1980s, 1990s, that's the way people used to view football. It was a standing up spectator sport. What you also had at the time was obviously the Boer War, the Battle of the Boer War, and this one of the battles there was the Battle of Spion Kop, which was a hill in South Africa, and then that name, that sort of rectangle shape, was used for the designs for English stadiums. So probably the most famous ones is the Kop at Anfield in Liverpool. You also had Birmingham City's St Andrews. They had a famous Kop down one side, and that's how English soccer grounds looked probably up until the 1970s. No new grounds were built after the war, apart from the exceptions to that are Vale Park, the home of Port Vale, built in the 1950s. It was originally called the Wembley of the North, and it was going to be this grand stadium that was going to host big international matches and semi-finals, FA Cup semi-finals. Unfortunately, it never quite came off. It was decided not to, I think because of transport links. But I've been to Vale Park a long time ago, And the only thing you can really see is you get these big dual carriageways leading up to the stadium. That's the only thing that's really been left. The other one was Roots Hall in Southend, again built in the 1950s. And apart from those two, nothing really changed up until probably the late 60s, early 70s. And what you had then, unfortunately, it was an unsavoury part of English football. You had the advent of English football hooliganism. And in the 1970s, what really pushed hooliganism was that Manchester United were relegated in 1973-74 down into the old second division. And the Red Army, as their fans were known, would then go to all sort of provincial towns, and they'd probably have enough fans to fill three quarters of the stadium. And unfortunately, they just used to wreck towns and wreck stadiums. And as I say, the policing then increased, but it was still a time when really you could walk from one end of the ground to the other. Segregation hadn't been introduced. That was introduced around about 1978, where sadly a Manchester United Bolton Wanderers game, a Bolton Wanderers fan died, and that changed. So then what you started to see in the late 70s, early 80s, and of course it still continues to this day, is the segregation, where if you go as an away fan, you've got a specific part of the stadium for your team. It was pretty hairy. I used to go a lot in the 1970s and 80s with my father. Because of all the hooliganism, a lot of people like my father stopped going, and attendances did drop during that period. I mean, I now look back at some of the photos of some of the grounds, and really some of them, it did really look like a prisoner of war camp, and you were very much seen as second-class citizens, a football fan in the 1980s. What we started to see then was, strangely enough, English teams were very successful in Europe. Liverpool, Nottingham Forest, Aston Villa, winning the European Cup, of course. But it wasn't really until the sort of the tragedies of the late 80s, where you had obviously the Hillsborough tragedy in Sheffield, where 96, Liverpool fans lost their lives. And then you had the Taylor Report, and the Taylor Report was a report that really it was the start of all-seater stadiums, which, I want to go on to on another episode, but really it's almost gone full circle, where now what you're starting to see is the real push for, it's called safe standing, where they've got the rail seats, so you can actually use it like a normal seat, or you can bolt the rails up and it becomes a terrace. The interesting thing about safe standing, not the interesting thing, but it's all about the ratio. So I think in Scotland it's already been started. Celtic have got a safe standing area. And the ratio there is 1-1. So what that means is one person sits there and one person stands there. Normally what you normally see is 1-3, 1-4. So essentially in a block which could house 2,000 people sitting down, you can get 3,000 or 4,000 if it stood up. So that's basically how it works. The other thing about the modern stadiums, unfortunately, we don't have an Archibald Leach these days. So a lot of stadiums are just you know, they're conceived as soulless bowls. There are a few exceptions. I really like Huddersfield Town's ground and a few others that have just been sort of subtly different. I mentioned them before. Forest Green Rovers are supposed to be building an all-wooden stadium. But as I say, I want to talk about maybe that on another episode. The first stadium that was built, as I say, since Southend or Port Vale's was Scunthorpe United, who built their Glanford Park in 1988. And it was the first new stadium. Ironically enough, they are looking, 30 years later, they are looking to actually build a new stadium from that one. Their old ground, it was called the old show ground there in Scunthorpe, that actually had the first cantilever stand in Britain. And a cantilever stand is just, it's where the supports are at the back of the stand, and it sort of holds the top of the stand up, meaning that you've got unobstructed views all around the ground. So that was the first one. Sadly, that's gone. So there you go. I'm just going to say, I'm going to be talking about the second part of that and more about modern stadiums. But that just gives you a little bit of a very brief rundown of what happened. Just going over to the results from last night. There was a game that I did actually watch. The big game of the day was Manchester City versus Liverpool. 5-0 to Manchester City. Liverpool, in fairness, did have a player, Mane, sent off, which probably did affect the outcome a little bit. But even so, Manchester City looked absolutely on fire. The other results, Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 0. Good win for Arsenal. Still pointless. Bournemouth are still pointless. I think Eddie Howe's going to be okay because he's had a fantastic couple of years. But he's got to be careful. They've got to start winning. Brighton won their first Premier League game last night. So they beat West Brom 3-1, so Nick will be pleased. Everton 0, Tottenham 3. Leicester 1, Chelsea 2. Southampton 0, Watford 2. And then finally Stoke 2, Manchester United 2. So good point there for Stoke. Now, there are a couple of games coming up. We've got a couple of games today. We've got Burnley versus Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace still pointless. And then we've also got Swansea versus Newcastle. The Monday night game is West Ham versus Huddersfield. West Ham pointless. There's a lot going on there at the moment. There's talk about Slaven Bilic losing his job. There's talk about West Ham trying to buy a Portuguese player from Sporting Lisbon. There's sort of a war of words. They didn't actually buy the player, and then the Sporting Lisbon director, owner, has come out and called the West Ham director a liar and a parasite, which at the moment has amused a lot of West Ham fans because they probably couldn't put it better words themselves. So that's David Sullivan, the West Ham chairman. Just moving on into the Championship, into the second tier. It is starting to, I mean, it's still very, very early, but you've got a couple of really good front runners. Cardiff have had a fantastic start under Neil Warnock. They drew yesterday, but up until then they had a 100% record. So the results from the Championship last night: Preston North End 1, Barnsley 1, Aston Villa 0, Brentford 0, Fulham 1, Cardiff 1, as mentioned, Leeds 5, Burton 0, good win for Leeds, Norwich 1, Birmingham City 0. So no points there for Harry at Birmingham. Bolton Wanderers 0, Middlesbrough 3. My tip, Middlesbrough for the win, to win that division. Queen's Park Rangers 2, Ipswich 1. Ipswich started well, relevant to that result. Reading 0, Bristol City 1, Battle of the West Country. Sunderland 1, Sheffield United 2. Sheffield United having a good start. Wolves 1, Millwall 0. And then finally Sheffield Wednesday 3, Nottingham Forest 1. So we will be I've got some guests coming next week. We're going to be talking more, getting back into the teams. I've got a Middlesbrough fan interested to hear his views. I've also got a QPR fan, so we're not just talking about the big teams. I do like to know what's going on further down the pyramid. So moving into League One. So this is the results from last night. So we've got Peterborough 1, Bradford 3, two teams doing very well there at the top. Wimbledon 0, Portsmouth 2. I was out with a Portsmouth fan last night, might get him on. Charlton Athletic 2, Southend 1, Fleetwood 2, Oldham 2, Northampton 1, Doncaster Rovers 0. Big win for Northampton, they needed that. They've just got rid of their manager, Justin Edinburgh. Oxford 3, Gillingham 0, Bristol Rovers 2, Walsall 1. Good win for Bristol Rovers. Plymouth Argyle 0, Milton Keynes 1, and then Rochdale 3, Blackburn 3. Good win for Blackburn. Rotherham 3, Bury 2, Scunthorpe 0, Blackpool 0, and finally Shrewsbury 1, Wigan Athletic 0. Now, Shrewsbury, top of that division, who'd have thought it? They're flying, 6 games, 16 points, followed by Charlton on 15 points, Peterborough and Bradford on 13. So then finally, just moving into League 2, got some good wins here for Mansfield Town 4, Grimsby 1, Yeovil 0, Cheltenham 0, Barnet 3, Cambridge 1, Colchester 3, Crawley 1, Coventry City 1, Port Vale 0. Good win for Coventry. Crewe Alexandra 5, Chesterfield 1, Accrington 3, Carlisle 0, sorry. Luton 0, Swindon 3, Newport 0, Wickham 0, Notts County 2, Morecambe 0, Stevenage 1, Lincoln 2. Lincoln really, really going well at the moment. And then finally, Forest Green Rovers 1, Exeter City 3. Now, Exeter City, I've got a manager there. He's been there over 15 years, I think, and he's doing a great job. So Exeter leading the table at the moment, followed by Accrington, Notts County, and good old Crewe at the bottom. It's Port Vale and Chesterfield who are struggling there. I'm just going to go on to, of course, the Scottish Premiership. I don't want to forget them, of course. There was also last weekend was International Week, and it was a fairly good week for all the home nations. Let's just go into the Scottish Prem and do some of these. Here we go. So, Heart of Midlothian 0, Aberdeen 0. At the moment, funnily enough, the main stand at Tynecastle, Hearts' home ground, is being renovated. So they're actually playing their games at Murrayfield, which is the home of Scottish rugby. So, Heart of Midlothian 0, Aberdeen 0, Motherwell 2, Kilmarnock 0, Rangers 4, Dundee 1. Good win for Rangers. Ross County 1, Partick Thistle 1, and then finally St Johnstone 1, Hibernian 1. So Hibernian going well under Neil Lennon. I think he's just been given a new contract. Any comments, please put them on the website. And I'm just going to leave it there. Thanks for your time and have a great Sunday. Thanks very much.